I'm not even sure when they're going back to school. I mean, there's a lot of people wanting it to wait, and then there's people, probably mothers, that are wanting it to happen yesterday, and so we're just gonna see what happens. But our Feel the Future folks have been getting ready to help the kids down the street. Those of you that may not know, we send food home every weekend. It's called Feel the Future. We send food home on the weekends. With kids who were coming to school hungry on Monday right down the street at St. Ville. And I asked the principal there one day, I said, how many of your kids come to school hungry? And she said, a lot of them. First I asked her, how many of your kids are on a free lunch program? All of them. And so I just think it's a sin in America for anybody to be hungry. I mean, we've been blessed by God with resources. We've been, you know, these children didn't ask for irresponsible parents, or parents are just in a hard time. I mean, it's both. Some of it's just people that run out of money come the weekend, and so we try and help bridge that gap. And so we're thankful for that. But people are getting ready. We've got chairs. As you see, the sample of the new chair, it's going to be a different color than that, are coming in September. Late September is when it's going to be. And I wish they'd been here for our anniversary, but they won't be. And but they're made in America, and they're coming in. I think they're made out in California, so it must be on a slow truck, you know, or something, and all that. But you know, this time, it's a crazy time, and you know, we've been in this pandemic. Everybody say pandemic, right? And pandemic is just a fancy word for there's a lot of people sick all over the world. I mean, it's affecting the whole world, this coronavirus. And so, you know, it hadn't gone away like it should have. It hadn't gone away like we thought it would have, you know. And as a matter of fact, it's kind of bounced back, right? And then you get politics involved, and that really messes up stuff. Somebody say amen to that. I mean, anytime politics gets involved, that messes stuff up. I mean, so today, you know, we're doing this Faith Works series. And let me tell you, Faith That Works, the reason I wanted to do this series is I believe absolutely from the core of who I am, if my faith does not help me this afternoon, if my faith does not help me tomorrow, if my faith doesn't impact how I act, speak, and think in good times and in bad times, it is utterly useless. Because faith isn't the Sunday morning thing. Faith isn't a church thing. Faith is a Monday when I get fired kind of thing. Faith is a Monday when I go to work and there's a tough thing going on kind of thing. Faith is something that impacts us every day. Faith is when your daughter or your son comes home and says, hey, I made a mistake, you know. And I mean, that's where your faith kicks in. So I believe faith has to work in every area of our life. And I want you to write this down. Here's what I believe. Faith that doesn't work is useless. Faith that doesn't work is useless. I believe it's got to work all the time. I mean, you know, the nation is in crisis. It's not just the virus. I mean, there are civil unrest and acts of lawlessness all around our country that have nothing to do with social justice anymore. You need to understand that. This has about bringing a government down, the riots and where you see them lock people in a police station, blocking the doors, and set it on fire. That's not about civil justice. That's about murder. And when you see some of the things going on, now, do we need some transformation in our culture? Absolutely we do. But what's happening today is to bring chaos and to bring down a government. It really is. And the idea of reducing, you know, crime, one city sent out a notice. The city council sent out notices to all the citizens. How would you like this to happen here? And what they said was, crime is rampant. If you get robbed, just give them what they want. We can't help you. All the while, they're reducing. They voted to defund their police department by half. And so that's total nonsense. That's a recipe for destabilization of a country. I mean, you know, we hire people to protect us, right, from crime. And so, you know, we want to look at how do we react? How do people normally react? How can we react in times where things are out of our control? I mean, right now I can't control what's going on with the pandemic. I'm not a scientist, so I can't control when we're going to have that vaccine. I can't control all the different research towards treatments. I can't control the politicians who are too weak to stand up and say, that's wrong, this is right, that's wrong, this is right. I was reading an article with Tyler Perry in it. I love Tyler Perry. Anybody like Tyler Perry? And Tyler Perry said, you know what? Some things are right. Tyler Perry came out and said, defunding the police is the dumbest idea I've heard. We need to train them better, and we need more of them. He said, I know I need more of them where my studio is. And so you've got all these voices going on, and so we can't control that, though. I can't control the city council in Seattle or Portland or Minneapolis or New York or any of these crazy mayors that are going on and saying, hey, you can't have church. But I can control how I respond and how I react. And so I want to get into that, but let's look at some of the reactions that you'll recognize yourself in some of these reactions here. They're actually stages, kind of. And we've been through them already in New Orleans, right? We had a thing called Katrina. Have you seen anybody name a child named Katrina since Katrina? No. I think that's kind of a bad word now. But, you know, we went through all of these. And I remember I would work, Pastor Kathy and I would work with teams as they came in. And so you'd see them go through these stages, kind of. You'd see the residents going through these stages. I felt these stages. I feel them now. And so let's look at them. The first, you can write these down real quick, is denial. Not the River Nile, but denial. You know, this is where you're kind of saying, hey, it's not my problem. You know, I'm healthy. It's not my problem. This thing might not even be real. And there were so many people at the beginning of this virus that said, hey, this is just a way to keep the president from getting reelected. I mean, if you can believe. So then why is every country in the world shut down? If people were saying it's not real. It's not real. A lot of people are saying that right now. That's why they don't wear face masks when they go around. It's not my problem. It's not my problem. The second one is dismissal. This is where we just say, hey, you know what? It's real, but it's no big deal. It's going to go away real fast. I remember I was in this stage. You know, this is a real thing, but right now, you know, we have this many people die with the flu every year, you know, and it's going to go away quick. Well, guess what? It hadn't. You know, most people, you know, probably felt that it's not going to last. I mean, you know, we had confidence that medical people would catch up with it and all that kind of stuff, and they haven't yet. I mean, they're making huge treatment option advances on all kinds of things. The good that's going to come out of this is that there's going to be treatments for every kind of virus or cold or whatever that we never imagined. I mean, that's going to make everything better and stuff like that. Then the next stage after dismissal is where you admit that it's no big deal, is defiance. And I see a lot of people in this stage right now. They're the ones that go beat up a clerk for saying you've got to have a face mask. They're the ones that go out to their car and get a gun and come back shooting at somebody because they said you got to wear a face mask. We're in defiance. We're just, hey, look, I don't care if you get sick. I'm healthy and I'm not wearing a mask. I'm not social distancing. You know, all that kind of stuff. And there's a whole lot of that going on right now. You know, don't physical distance. I don't like the word social distance. I don't physical distance, you know. And so you see people in this stage. It's like I go back and forth to that stage sometimes. I'm tired of that mask. Anybody with me? But, you know, it's not going to go away. I've got it in my pocket somewhere. That's why I dropped it. That's why we made River Church face masks. So at least we can advertise the church and promote the church on there and so invite people. The next one we do, we'll have our website on it so people can get information. We may give them away and stuff like that. But defiance, people are in that defiant attitude, you know, and they don't want to do what the government wants them to do. You know, you got people suing the parish president over the face mask order. Well, then the governor does it. So now you got to sue somebody else, you know, and they're saying, hey, you know, and so you're in this defiance thing. And then there's the next stage is delayed acceptance. Delayed acceptance, number four. You know, this is where you say, okay, it is a big deal and it is affecting me. It is a big deal and it does affect me. I mean, you might still be a little defiant, but you're accepting the fact that this is a problem and it's a big problem and it's going to impact me. You know, some people, you know, kicking and screaming, you know, they well, it's fake, and then they got laid off their job, or you know, different things have happened, or maybe they had a relative get sick. You know, I've seen so many people that have had this thing, and we know treatments that have helped people and stuff like that, but you've got this delayed acceptance. The fifth stage is disruption. We've been in this stage for a while, right? That's where, you know, hey, look, we know this thing's going to last a while now. We know this thing's going to last a while now, and so, I mean, think about it. Schools, whoever would have thought we'd have finished last year with students, all your students at home, learning via internet or mail or whatever, you know. I don't know how they did it with the elementary kids. High school is a little easier, it seems like. But we did. You've got schools teaching at a distance. You've got millions of people who are out of work. You know, Pastor Kathy and I were walking. I've probably exercised better than I have in 20 years during this pandemic. You know, I just get up early and exercise, and we go walking around the park. But we noticed the little area with all the little rides for the little children was locked up, you know, at Lafreniere Park and different places because they didn't want people there. I mean, it's disrupted and turned our world upside down, if you think about it. I mean, you know, you can't go out and eat like you used to could. You know, we were going to go to one restaurant yesterday, and we called, and they didn't have a reservation available for an hour or two, and we were, like, starving. It was, like, 3 p.m, we hadn't eaten lunch, and so, you know, so we looked at another restaurant. They didn't have any openings, so we said, we know one will, so we went and ate. And so, you know, life is turned upside down. And so that sometimes leads to this next stage, which is distress. And this is kind of where, you know, this is going to last a long time. It's going to change everything. And it's global. It's changing the world forever. Distress. So write that down. It's number 6, distress. I think the computer may have frozen up. I don't know. But distress is where you're just worried. You begin to worry and it becomes depressing. I mean, overdose deaths and suicides have skyrocketed during this time, and where people are trying to medicate and so all these things are happening, you know. But so people are feeling that stress, that strain. They're snapping at each other. You know, during the lockdown, our calls for service at the sheriff's office were up on calls for service of household abuse and stuff like that, and stuff. So, you know, all that's happening. The stage we want to get to, though, is number 7, and I'm going to call it determination. This is just where, you know, with God's grace, we're going to get through this. You know, in Katrina, this happened, you know, in Katrina. It's like, okay, this thing is not, you know, these houses are ruined. We're going to have to tear them down and start over. And you know, you'd see that. And so we're going to get through this together. It's kind of that time of determination where, you know, it's going to be a while. But God's going to get us through it. And that's where we want to be. I mean, you know, I can remember seeing groups come in during Katrina, and they would be gutting out a house. And about the third day of pulling that stuff out, they realized, I'm taking somebody's life and putting it on the street. I'm taking everything somebody has collected in their lifetime and putting it on the street. And yet, then they would still push through that and keep helping. So today, we're going to talk about decisions. We're going to talk about how God can help, how our faith can help us make hard decisions easier, tough decisions easier. Life is a series of choices and decisions. And so every day we're presented with problems that we're going to have to evaluate and choose an action. But first, I wanted to talk about a decision that Boudreaux had to make. Boudreaux heard that Thibodeau had been in an accident. So he rushed over to the hospital where the doctor says, well, I got some bad news. I got some good news, and Boudreaux, a decision for you to make. And he said, the bad news is that Thibodeau needs a brain transplant. He said, the good news is we've done that surgery before. He said, the decision you got to make is whether you want to give him a man's brain that cost $100,000 or a woman's brain that cost $10,000. Boudreaux said, why is a man's brain so expensive? He said, it's brand new. It's never been used. All right, y'all laughing good. That's good. Boudreaux had a choice to make, right? I don't know how Thibodeau's doing with that woman's brain, but that's the one he got. But anyway, somebody said one time, we make our choices and our choices make us. We make choices, and then our choices make us. So how does having faith in God make tough choices easy? You look on your outlines, James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James, half-brother of Jesus, said this, "If you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. But when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do." Now, a tough choice doesn't have to be a life-changing choice. I want you to understand that. A tough choice doesn't have to be, am I going to take this job or am I going to wait on my job? A tough choice doesn't have to be that. A tough choice might be what you're going to wear. I know a lot of people in River Church have that trouble before this pandemic because all our potluck dinners, when you hear people say, I just can't fit in anything anymore, you know, and stuff like that. So we're going to have to change our ways here at River Church, folks. But a tough choice might be, what are you going to wear? It could be something easy like choosing between good and bad. It could be something like choosing between two good things that are difficult. One's a little better and one's not. And you're not really sure which one it is. And so we're going to look at the Word of God and get that. But before we really go through this process, I want you to think about maybe some issues that you're looking at, some challenges you have right now, some problems that you might be facing. And so we'll look at this. Now, number one, I want you to write down, when I put my faith in God, he gives me wisdom. You got to understand that. I have people ask me what they should do, you know, with a decision they got to make. So, listen, you need to ask God. Look at James 1, verse 5. He said, if you need wisdom. How many of y'all need some wisdom? I need wisdom every single day. Pastor Kathy will tell you. I need wisdom, all right? And so... He said, if you need wisdom, ask. Later on, he says, you don't have because you don't ask. You don't have it because you don't ask. We need to remember to ask God for wisdom. How many times have we made a decision without praying about it, without asking God? That's too many for me to count. You know, and I have a feeling you're probably the same. He said, ask our generous God. I want you to see that. God's generous, and he will what? Give it to you. He'll give it to you. He's not even going to rebuke you for asking. He's not going to go, huh, you asking for that again. He's not going to do that. He's going to give it to you. See, God wants to give you and I help. He wants to help us. But too often we don't ask. Now, here's a little bit of wisdom from Solomon. Solomon said, those who become wise are happy. You want to be wise? Seek wisdom. We get wisdom from where? From God. And so when we're following God and getting our wisdom from God, we're going to be happy. He said, wisdom will give them life. Wisdom will give them life. We need wisdom. I know I need wisdom. And too often, God's wisdom is going to be opposite of the world's wisdom. And so the world doesn't understand why you would be here on a Sunday instead of doing something else. The world doesn't understand why you would give to the Lord's work and not use it for a boat or something like that. And so the world doesn't understand those kind of things. And so God's wisdom is different. Matter of fact, Solomon said this, getting wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. So pursuing wisdom is the wisest thing you can do. And he said, whatever else you do, develop good judgment. We get that from the Lord. We get that from the process we're going through here. So that's the most important thing. In Proverbs 24:14, Solomon said this, you may be sure that wisdom is good for the soul. Wisdom's good for you, right? I mean, get wisdom and you'll have a bright future. How many of y'all want a bright future? Well, we got to have God's wisdom in our life. You know, God will tell you, he'll lead you to make the best choices for your life, for your business, for the things you're doing. So God will do that. Doesn't matter when you get it. You might say, well, it's kind of too late. Well, look, Colonel Sanders started Kentucky Fried Chicken in his 60s. We just talked about the guy that founded the Holiday Inns, remember in his 40s, he got laid off, got fired from the lumber mill. And then he started building, and he built Holiday Inns. And he said if he could find the guy that fired him, he'd hug him and thank him, you know what I mean? You know, but it's never too late. It's never too late. So how do I get the wisdom that I need? Write these down. This is important. Number one, put God first in your life. Man, you got to put God first in your life. So write that down. Put God first in your life. You got to put him first in your thoughts. You've got to put him first in your schedule. You got to put him first in your relationships, your careers, your finance. You put him first in every single area of your life. Jesus said this, seek the kingdom of God, what does he say? Above all else. So that means I'm seeking the kingdom of God. And I'll put that in a practical thing. I used to do a lot of fundraising for Youth for Christ when I was the director of Youth for Christ. And so I can remember specifically I was praying, Lord, how can I apply that verse that we're looking at in my life today? And so I'm knocking, not on the door of a house, but an office door. And I go in and I visit with this man. And I'd been told to go see him because he'd give me a boatload of money for our ministry, right? And so I'm thinking he's ready. But, you know, he starts talking about his son who was doing some things that he was very upset about and real worried about. And so I was able to talk with him and minister to him and pray with him because I was seeking God, the kingdom of God, first. And guess what? We got the boatload of money. But see, that became the back burner. And because, see, he said, seek the kingdom of God above all else. Then he said, live righteously, which means you're just living like there is a God. Too often, we say, oh, yeah, I believe in God, and then we live like the devil. We live like God doesn't matter, right? And he says, put God first, live like you put him first, and what does he say? And he will give you everything you need. And let me tell you, when we do that, God is faithful over and over and over to do that. He goes on to say, in Psalm 111, we're talking about putting God first. It says, Psalm 111:10, fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago, I think, where the fear of the Lord, that's a healthy respect of God, and it's the foundation of wisdom. It's the foundation of wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. So when we obey him, we're gonna grow in our wisdom. We're going to be better at decision-making. We're going to have his wisdom in our life. Proverbs 15:33, Solomon said this, the fear of the Lord teaches wisdom. Humility precedes honor. So when we humble ourselves before God and we have that respect of God and we're listening to him and we're living like he's first in our life, guess what? It precedes honor. And what does that mean? All of that precedes a promotion, a raise. All the stuff we want, it comes after we put God first and humble ourselves to him. So when you listen to God, you make fewer mistakes, and that just makes things go better. The next thing, first we've got to put God first. The next thing we've got to do is apply God's word in our lives. You got to apply it. This is why I love the Life Application Bible. I've never been interested in like just studying for studying's sake. Y'all can say, yeah, we know that. You're not all that bright, But I've never just been wanted to study for knowledge's sake. In some of these commentaries, they'll go like 15 pages on one word or something. I need some help putting it into practice is what I need. y'all looking at me like I'm a heathen. Somebody say amen. I mean, it's hard with y'all's mask on, but this is like, okay, we know Robert's a bad guy, but I need that apply. I need to apply it. I need that application. So look what Jesus said in John 14:15. He said, look, if you love me, obey me. Obey my commandments. That's applying it. So when Jesus says, look, you need to forgive that person. Well, that sounds good, Jesus. No, do it. apply it in your life. And so that's what he's saying. We need to apply it. Now, Jesus, before at the Last Supper, he took and washed his disciples' feet. Now, let me tell you, they're walking around in sandals. Oh, they have some nasty feet. And Jesus is getting on his knees before him. He's washing their feet. And here's what he said. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them. So what he's saying here is we're to go and serve just like Jesus served. See, Jesus humbled himself and helped those disciples. He cleaned those disciples' feet. He served them. That was a sign of service then. And he said, God will bless you for what? Doing it. And so God's going to bless us when we apply the word of God in our lives. And that's really what applying it means. It means action. When we are applying God's word, it's action. It impacts what we say, what we think, and what we do in our lives. 2 Samuel 21, 22, 31 says this: God's way is perfect. All the Lord's promises prove true. He is a shield for those who look to him for protection. So when we look to God for protection, guess what? He's going to be our shield. When we put him first and we're living like we've put him first, he's going to bless us. He's going to protect us. And so if we'll just do things God's way, if we do things God's way, we're going to be doing the right thing all the time, right? And so because his way is perfect. And so when we do the things he's called us to do, he's going to protect us, he's going to empower us, and he's going to make that happen. Now, that protection might not look like you or I think it ought to look, but it will be there, and he'll protect you. So when you've got a tough decision to make, remember, God's way is perfect, and so lean on him. Lean on him. Matter of fact, James 1:25 says this. He said, but if you look carefully into the perfect law, and what he's saying here is the word of God is perfect. When you look at it, he said, when you look into the perfect law that sets you free, that's the law of grace, the law of Jesus, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you've heard, then God will bless you for doing it. So that's why we give these outlines to you to fill out so you won't forget what we're talking about. You know, I mean, Pastor Kathy will send me to the grocery store with a list, then she'll always add something to it. And she'll just tell me, and I'll forget it. You know, we don't want you to forget it, so write it down. So, and if you tell me something and you don't see me write it down, just realize you're going to have to email me because it's going to be forgotten. I mean, so do what it says. Do what it says. We got to apply the Word of God. The next thing we got to do is surround ourselves with godly people. You got to surround yourself with godly people. You need the Word of God in your life. You got to put God, Jesus first. But you need godly people to hang out with you. And here's why. Proverbs 13:20 says this: walk with the wise and become wise. Walk with the wise and become wise. Paul told Timothy, he said, don't be fooled. Bad company corrupts good character, and it does it every time. So if you're hanging out with people, that's why it's so important for Christians to not date non-Christians. I see so many teenage girls, they're on fire for the Lord, and they date a scuzzy guy that doesn't love the Lord. And it doesn't pull him up, it pulls her down. Same way if it's a guy and a girl, it'll pull you down every time. He says, walk with the wise and become wise. That means you hang out with people who are loving God, trying their best to serve. Does it mean any of us are perfect? No. But you know what? You might have made a mistake that I'm going to make tomorrow, and you can help me through that mistake. And so we hang out with the wise. He said this: when you associate with fools, and a fool is anybody who says there is no God. A fool is anybody who lives like there is no God. He said, when you associate with fools, he doesn't say you're going to be stupid. He already knows that. He says, you're going to get in trouble. And so when we hang out with the right people, it makes us wise. It helps our life. So, and that's from the smartest, wisest man to everything. So we need to spend time with godly people. Now, it's harder to do that during this pandemic. You know, you can attend Sunday services, and this is important. And in September, we plan on restarting our Wednesday night service. We won't do that with a meal, but we'll have a service. And so that'll be two opportunities for you to get fed the Word of God. Some people, we hope to start our small groups back up. Now, here's the thing. Some of y'all are going, well, I'd do a small group, but my house just won't work on it. Guess what? I have a word for you. This is a word from God. Zoom. Zoom meetings. You know, it's kind of a new day. Guess what? You can have a Bible study with four or five people on Zoom. We have a church account. You can use that account. You don't have to get your own account. You can use a Zoom meeting. You can see the pictures up there. You can study the Word of God yourself. You can do some things there. And some of y'all might just want to do some of that. And so, we need to spend time and surround ourselves with godly people. The second thing is when I put my faith in God, he frees me from doubts. I mean, here, you know how this goes. You're faced with a tough decision, and you make that decision, and then you start going, did I do the right thing? I should have done. Anybody with me on that? Anybody with me? You know, and so, You know, he says sensible people keep their eyes glued on wisdom. In other words, you keep seeking God. He said, but a fool's eyes wander all over the ends of the earth, looking at all kinds of different wisdoms, you know. And so, you know, I'm constantly amazed that people will go talk to their friends asking advice instead of talking to people that have made the decision they're looking at. You know, it's like I need to make a decision about my life and career, so they go talk to a friend that's not doing anything. Wrong guy to go talk to. If I want to, you know, I've run into kids over the years when I was doing ministry in the schools, wanted to be a doctor, so I had a friend who was an orthopedic surgeon. I'd introduce them, and he would talk to them and talk about that. And you know, I ran into a girl one time at Best Buy, and she said, "Hey, Mr. Robert, do you remember me?" And I didn't. And she said, "I used to go to Marrero Middle School. Very needy school at the time. And we would go in there and do all kinds of stuff in that school." And she said, I said, "What are you doing there?" She said, "I'm in med school." Wasn't that awesome? Because she caught a vision. You see, we've got to put our faith in God. He will free you from doubts. Depend on God and ask for his wisdom. Look at James 1, 6 through 8. He said, "But when you ask him, be sure your faith is in God alone. Don't waver, for a person with divided loyalty is unsettled as a wave." What he's talking about there, he's not talking about, "Lord, I need you to provide for us, Lord." It's not, "Man, I'm not sure if he's going to do that." No, he's saying, you one day you believe in God, and the next day you believe in the world. One day you believe in God, the next day you believe in the news media. One day I'm following God, the next day I'm living for the devil. He's talking about a divided personality, you know, where you're, you know, some people like to walk as close to the line of sin as they can. No, you need to get all the way over here with God. You need to get all the way over here with God. And so you don't want to have that divided loyalty. He said such people should expect not to receive anything from the Lord because their loyalty is divided between God and the world. So we're living in a time when things are changing every single day. Well, I mean, one day the news will say this will work, and the next day, because somebody said it'll work, the media comes out against it, you know, and all kinds of things. And if you fall for all that, you're going to be unstable. You've got to keep your eyes on the Lord. You've got to have undivided loyalty in that way. Number three, when I put my faith in God, I want you to write this down. It's important. He acts on my behalf. He acts on my behalf. You know, Matthew 9:29. Jesus said this, you know, first of all, God's not moved by our whining and crying. He's moved by faith. And Jesus, when he was healing this man, he said, when he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you. According to your faith, let it be done." And see, Pastor Kathy will be looking for a parking place. She'll say, "God, give me a good parking place." She gets a good parking place most of the time. I don't have that faith. But you know, according to your faith, what kind of faith do you have during this pandemic? Do you have faith that God's going to guide you, he's going to protect you, he's going to take care of your family? You know, according to your faith, let it be done. How much will you trust God? How much will you trust God? And number four, when I put my faith in God, he uses my mistakes. How many times are we afraid of making a mistake? Pastor Kathy was afraid of making a mistake on me for 9 years. She finally, and I kept planting tape recorders in bushes and putting lighter fluid on them, saying, Mary Robert, like, you know, Moses got, you know, and stuff like that. And so, you know, but, you know, God will use your mistakes. God will use your mistakes. Look at Romans 8:28. It said, and we know God causes everything, not some things. Not, he doesn't just cause church to work. He causes everything. There's some good going to come out of this pandemic. There's going to be some good if for those of us that love God. And so he causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Let me tell you, when you've got to make a tough decision, and sometimes things are not black and white. They're just like, man, I don't know which is best. And you're afraid you're going to make the wrong decision, God will use even your wrong decisions for your good. He'll use even your wrong decisions. Let me tell you, he'll use it for your good and his glory. If you love God, he wants to work on your behalf. I want you to bow your heads. And I just want us this morning to, you know, first of all, we've got to put our trust in the Lord. We've got to put our trust in the Lord. And so I want to give you an opportunity. If you're in this room and you don't have that personal, living relationship with Jesus Christ, say, I'm not a religious person. I have a relationship. I have a friend. His name is Jesus. And he connects me to the Father. I'm part of a family. And I love my family. And so I want you to have that as well. And so whether you're watching on Facebook or whether you're in this room, if you don't have that personal connection, because it's not about church, it's not about a religion, it's about a relationship. And I want you to have that relationship. Let me tell you, my life has not been smooth, but God has walked through that and guided me every step of the way. So you can have that relationship just by praying this prayer. And just repeat silently with me, dear God, I admit to you that I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Jesus, thank you for dying on a cross for my sin. Thank you for forgiving me of my sin. Jesus, come into my life and be my Savior and be my Lord. Give me the power of your Holy Spirit to live for you every single day. And I'll give you the glory. It's in your name I pray. Now, if you prayed that prayer, I believe that the God of the universe, the creator of the world, Jesus Christ, came into your life. You can mark that on your connection cards. And I hope everybody in here has filled out their connection card to turn in at the doors as they leave. Online, you can put that in your chat that you chose to receive Christ. Or you can email robert@riverchurchnola.com. Now I want to pray. I want us to just, with our heads bowed and eyes closed, I want us to pray. I want you to just tell God right now, you trust him with your life. Lord, I'm looking to you and I'm asking for your wisdom. And I'm putting you first in my life. I'm going to put you first in my life. And I'm going to ask for your wisdom. I'm going to study your word. I'm going to get into your word, and I'm going to study your word, Lord. And I'm asking you to help me apply it in my life, God. I'm going to begin hanging out with godly friends. I may even get in a group. I'm going to stop hanging around with people that put my faith down all the time. Lord, I'm going to trust you with each area of my life, every single area of my life. I'm going to be 100% for you, no doubts, no waving back and forth. Lord, lastly, I ask that you'd use my mistakes, because, Lord, I know I'm going to make them. I've made them, and I know I will. And I repent from them and turn to you. So, Father, we just pray, God, that as we leave this place, you would help us as we sign off of online. Lord, that you would help us to be people who apply your wisdom in our lives, apply your word. And as we go, Lord, I pray that you will help us to love people with your love, to see people with your eyes, to see their needs with your heart, and to help people, God, to share your love with them. God, we'll give you all the glory and all the honor. Lord, we pray for those who are sick. Lord, we look and thank you that Miss Jean is in this room, God, and we pray against her cancer and anyone else that we know of that's represented by someone in this congregation that's fighting cancer. Lord, we hate cancer. We know you hate cancer. We pray for healing, God. We pray for you to guide those doctors. We pray for miraculous healings, God. Lord, for those who have the virus, God, we pray for healing of those who have the virus. For the researchers, God, who are researching, God, we pray that they will not be influenced by politics, that they will find vaccines that will work, God, that they will find treatments that are better, and God, that people, this will be reduced to like the common cold. And so, God, we just pray in the name of Jesus for miracles to happen in people's lives. Lord, for our economy, and jobs, Lord, we pray that people will get back to work. People will get back to having money to spend and go out and eat and help the restaurant industry, God. That the schools will open safely and people will be able to go back safely, God, and not worry about this virus, Lord. We pray for things to begin rolling in a safe way, God. Because we've got better treatments, because maybe we've got a vaccine. And we've just gotten smart and we're not going to go places when we're sick, God. So, Lord, we just thank you for what you're going to do. Lord, we look for the good that you're going to bring to your people through this whole thing. Lord, for churches now that, Lord, like us that have never streamed their service and have people watching and hearing the Word of God that have never been in a building of a church, God. We thank you for that. That's a good thing that's come out of this whole time. But Lord, we pray for restoration of our world and our economy and people's jobs and businesses, God. That Lord, it'll be just like Job, that it'll be better than it was before. And God, we'll give you all the honor and glory. Lord, help us to be people that share your love today, tomorrow, and the next day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, God bless you guys for being here. Y'all are looking great. If you would, there'll be an usher at each door. They won't let you out unless you give them a connection card, all right? So turn your connection cards into them. Let me tell you what, that just helps Pastor Kathy and I